Welcome to Winspiration Radio, Growth Principles for Humanity and Progress. Join us when we share information, wisdom, and ideas how to create an extraordinary future for us all. The future is open. We together decide what will be in it. Welcome to another episode of Winspiration Radio. Today, my guest is once again Mel Levine. Last time we talked about slow life, or she recommended slow life. I said, oh, how impressive that 1 million or more books of her were distributed or sold. And today, and that's why I don't want to talk too much now here in the beginning, it is about silence, but not just don't talk, the real power of silence, the power of living from the true self, and how to go there, and which fears or daemon you might need to face to go there, to the real freedom, to the real feeling of oneness, and I am enough. Listen, open your heart, take it in, and use the recommendation, and then also really take your time to go to silence, to your true essence, the true essence who you really are. Live that, live it, live from there. You are enough, and we are all unique, even in the oneness. Welcome back, Mel. I'm so happy that we can here connect again after the first talk we had. She talks about slow life and then just selling a million books. I thought I had a fast life, but never sold a million books. But afterwards, you then also said, an interesting topic is silence. And even maybe it sounds a little bit contrary that we talk about silence, but that is the topic for the day. And I want to really explore and understand more what your experience with silence is, how important it is.
The first thing I just would like to correct that I didn't sell a million books, but a million books were distributed through various children's charity. Based on the little story of meditation for children. I have always felt comfortable with silence. As a child, I think I spent a lot of time on my own in nature. I was very fortunate to live in a home with a very large garden, and I love to just be by myself. In nature, with my own thoughts, finding refuge in myself. Mm-hmm. When I was in my 40s, we were living in Canada. I had two children at university and a husband with a very successful career. And we ran a business in Toronto, a holistic health center. That was also very successful. But for whatever reason, I hit a very deep and dark place inside myself. And
what do you mean by that?
I think a deep.
Just feel a kind of depression or meeting.
You know, the winters, the Toronto winters are very long for an African like me. It was, the winters were very tough. Mm-hmm. And somehow, maybe the combination of menopause, change of life, deep, dark winter, something snapped. And I knew there was only one way for me to try and find my way out of this dark forest I found myself in. And that was to go up to, we had a little cabin in northern Ontario. And of course, everyone was shocked. They said, you cannot winter there alone. It's not insulated. It's not geared for winter. But I didn't really have a choice. I just knew I had to do that. So I got in my car and I drove up north and I scraped the door open and I hauled wood into the little cabin. And I sat there for 3 months alone in silence. I did not listen to the radio. I didn't read books. I didn't listen to music. I just listened to the sound of silence. And I have no idea what prompted me to do that. I don't think I could do it today, to be honest. It was very, very tough, very lonely. I began to believe that the reason I was there was because I'd been cast out of the world. I forgot that I had gone there by choice. You know, the mind is very powerful. And when you sit in that kind of crucible of silence, it's incredibly intense, and all the ghosts come rattling at the window panes. It was dark and gray and cold, and my vehicle got buried several times. I couldn't even find it under the snow. I was so unequipped for that kind of experience, coming from South Africa, growing up in South Africa, even though I had lived in Canada for a few years, I had never faced winter in that way. But there's something amazing about life that guardian angels kept showing up. There were a few neighboring farmers that kept an eye on me. And used to just come and check that I was alive, under the excuse of, you know, I left something or I brought a load of wood, or then Canadians are so private and sort of polite. Just to amuse me, they knock on the door. Hello, I think I may have left something here. And
Oh,
I
it was your
knew.
energy also, maybe.
Something. They took pity on this African woman sitting by herself. It was a really profound experience for me of the power of silence, that I'll talk a little more about what I discovered about that and what I learned about myself, really. Through that process. And then, as life would have it, I found myself years later facilitating silent retreats at a monastery in Italy. And I did this twice a year for 20 years. I co-facilitated with a colleague, a Norwegian colleague, and we would have groups of people, about 20, 25 people at a time. Would come leave their normal world and just come to this monastery, open to experience what silence has to offer. And I used to say to them, what took me 3 months to discover, you can do in a few days. Because when you surrender to the power of silence, it's a force. We have no idea how powerful it is. And I must say, I worry that children today have very little silence in their lives, young people, old people. And I had to trust when I shut that door and entered that very cold, uninsulated cabin. You know, when you are so desperate And it's such a level of sadness that you don't understand where it's coming from. There isn't much choice. For me, I had to just grab onto maybe a memory of a previous lifetime.
Because when we use the word silence, that is just, oh, there's no noise now. Yeah, be silent. So it kind of, my dad said, be silent was a kind of shut up. Yeah, so don't disturb. What I understand is just also in the cabin, shutting the door somehow to the outside, or what is the idea of not talking? It is somehow not really about silence. It is just more, okay, I shift my focus from focusing on the outside. I'm focusing more on the inside. And so in the, let's say, non-visible world or non-material world, consciously, subconsciously, really searching or connecting what is your, we call maybe your true self. It is really connecting with something inside, what we maybe call the true self. Is it, you're nodding a
Well,
little bit.
I think silence is not the absence of noise. It's not the absence of anything. It's very, very strong. It has its own noise. It has its own sounds. It has its own textures. It changes. It's like the weather. Silence, as we know it, is not speaking. But anyway, when you're by yourself, you're just talking to yourself. That doesn't change because you happen to be in a cabin in Northern Ontario and there's no neighbors around you. That chatter still goes on. It doesn't stop in any way. In fact, it intensifies because maybe it's along the lines of nature abhors a vacuum. And so you create a vacuum and something rushes to fill it. And it's a lot of noise, a lot of chatter, a lot of memory, a lot of self-hatred, a lot of self-recrimination, of blaming, of pain. They're really, for me, I don't know. I listen to a lot of talks of people who live a contemplative life. Choose to live with others in silence and the kind of work one does in the company of others. I think the way the mind is designed, it never shuts up, actually. I don't think people realize how healing silence is. People are afraid of silence. Actually, silence doesn't mean absence. It doesn't mean withdrawal. It means going towards something else.
Yeah, first of all, when people in a workshop say, or sometimes I say a little bit provocative, I say, oh gosh, now I have another group who is not really thinking and not able to think. And then they're upset. And it says, okay, if you really can prove that you think, let's take 3 minutes and you think nothing. It's because on this level of existence, we identify us with a role, with something, and we're so trained of getting the recognition from other people. And then the moment I go in silence, I fear a kind of, death coming because no recognition, nothing, focus on the outside anymore.
So people discover things about themselves maybe they knew were there, but they never had the opportunity to experience. And it's almost like you have to go through the mud, the dross, the pain, you really have to go through that. There is a layer of pain, that we have to go through to face the void. And because we're so habituated, when something painful happens or a painful thought comes, to run from it, to distract, to have something to eat, something to drink, phone somebody, speak to somebody, turn on Netflix, do anything but face that void of loneliness. What happened to me was I faced intense loneliness,
Yes.
even though I'm in a happy marriage, I have family, I have children, I have a home, I have everything. You think, what I realized is that deep within there is a core of some unknowable place, extremely lonely, unheard, unseen, unworthy, unlovable. And the only way I could find it was to sit and look and listen, sit, for hours. And then one day, it wasn't loneliness anymore. It was aloneness. And it had a completely different feel to it. I felt I'd gone through that eye of the needle, that something had peeled away in me so deeply that I was trim enough to go through.
Is this a
In
kind of what a lot of people just say, letting go of things? You still were holding
surrendering.
tight to something?
Yes, letting go. We carry a lot of baggage around with us, and we don't realize how we live with these coats we wear, like wearing coats in the hot desert, and just let go, peel it off, just let go. Forgiveness, self-forgiveness, discovering the grace of God's love. Aloneness is such a joy. It's so rich for me. I love to be alone. And I love to be in silence. My granddaughter often says, Granny Merle, why don't you play music in your house? So I just love to be silent. I love to cook in silence. I love to walk in silence. I love to
But you
be
feel
in my
somehow
own.
connected with something, huh? So the moment you go out of the separation, and going out of the separation, and you can't be the separate ego anymore, then the fear comes and the extreme loneliness comes. And just if you go through it, you feel so much more connected, even if you can feel your individual self. But then you can't be alone anymore. In German, I don't know in other languages, but in German language is interesting. L lonely is allein. All together is alleins. So it's somehow really connected, but just used different.
It's through loneliness that it's such a driving force.
Yes.
I would never have gone places into myself if I had not experienced that intense loneliness.
I use partly the two examples, like if you have a ball and you dip it, or when it goes down and up, you don't see it really, but there must be a little second where it's totally still. Otherwise, it can't turn around. So if you're afraid for the stillness or silence, you can't go to the joy. Just let's have a short break.
The station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. we've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living. A people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
The station that makes you feel good.
I had some very, very interesting experiences. Maybe I can tell you about them. But I thought I would read this little poem. It's very short. And it's written by a Buddhist Rinpoche. Nyushul Ken Rinpoche. Rest in natural great peace, this exhausted mind, beaten helplessly by karma and neurotic thoughts, like the relentless fury of the pounding waves in the infinite ocean of samsara. Rest in natural great peace. And I think what I love about this poem is the emphasis that this state of peace is natural. This is our natural state, and just rest in it. In whatever form that peace takes. I mean, we're talking
rest
about
rest not in the meaning of be passive, so just be in the state of
come to rest. Maybe let your mind rest.
Let
your whole being rest.
Let
go, surrender.
Yeah.
Just rest in this field of great peace that we are surrounded by. And it's hard to make a connection with that when you are being thrashed around in the infinite ocean of samsara, you know, which is birth and death and rebirth. You know, the mind beats us. You know, the Buddhists often speak about a wild elephant, the power of the mind. Their force, you can only begin to wonder how they use that image. The mind is so powerful, and we believe our thoughts.
That's the problem. Yes,
and this is the big issue.
To rest in this state, is it in for you the same thing? Okay, I stay in this energy, in this powerful energy, and from there I live the life here in this incarnation.
When I feel myself going in one direction, I just remember. It helps me. The propensity to depression has not left. All those things I went into that experience with have not left. They are part of my personality.
Dalai Lama says also, I still can experience fear or self-doubt, but just I handle it different.
In the dark room, there is a handle on some, and if I grope around, sometimes I find it. And that handle of safety and security is what I connected to in that experience and what I've seen my students discover. The Buddhists speak about meditation on the cushion and meditation off the cushion. And of course, the off the cushion practice when you're in the world is just as important.
Can you say, a lot of people say, we got the brain when we incarnate to forget. And that is a problem. We forgot who we truly are. And then because you have the fear because you don't remember. You don't have the resource point to feel what happened then after the 3 months, what you felt. But now when you say, okay, I can on this level also have fear or crazy thoughts, but you have now the connection, the resource point. So you
if you have tasted the sweetness of how powerful a force of love we are surrounded by, if you just have tasted it, it's enough to last you forever. You don't have to keep going back to drink of it.
Yeah,
it's there. It's with you. It's like if you have known love or communion with a person or an animal or somewhere in nature, you can keep revisiting that. It becomes accessible to you. It's on your Wi-Fi system. You just log into it.
And did you experience a difference when you say the love an animal or love people? In my case, after I had this experience and I can't describe this feeling of love in the whatever level of non-duality up there, like a near-death experience. Afterwards, I feel the first time able to really love on this earthly level. Before, I never really could do it.
I think for me, what happened when I understood the power of silence and the power of surrender, maybe of giving up control of, just I'd been living like this and then suddenly I just opened. That changed my life.
You use the word guardian angel, and it was more the relation. So someone from the Canadian nice people brought you food or whatever. But guardian angel is also what we say, or spiritual guides or something. Someone not really here in the physical world.
Yes.
You experience this as well?
Yes. Such support. I think that's what took me there. Some kind of field around me said, just go, we will drive you there. Just get to this cabin and sit there and you will be held. You will be okay.
Before, I used more the willpower. If you want something, you need to do it. And after those processes, knowing a knowledge, stop wanting something, just allow them to guide you and then accept. And here comes the trust again, what you said.
Just let's make a short break.
The station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Anne and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So one beautiful day, the sun came out. Mm-hmm. It had been snowing a lot, and the cabin is on a lake, and you know, the lake's frozen solid. You can drive a truck over the lake. It gets to minus 35 there. Anyway, I decided I would go cross-country skiing across the lake. And it was one of those days when I felt terribly, terribly lonely. And I didn't know how to cope with it. So I thought, I think I'll just go for a ski across the lake. So off I went, and I saw tracks that are skidoo. And I got into these tracks, and I was just, and I got a beautiful rhythm happening in the skiing. And it started getting a little bit dark. I thought, I should make my way home, but yeah, it was so beautiful, and I was just enjoying being outside so much and the skiing. And then suddenly, and I kind of lost my bearings on the lake. It's a small lake, but it's it's quite a large lake. You cannot actually ski across to the other side. You know, it was a few miles in each direction. Anyway, I suddenly saw smoke coming from a house in the forest. And I didn't think anybody was there. I thought I was completely alone in this place. So I skied towards it, and I came around a bend through the trees, I could see that there was smoke coming out of somebody's chimney. And I thought, oh my goodness, there's people here. There's a house. There's someone I can go and speak to. It looked so warm and so homely and so inviting. And I just skied towards it. And then I had a huge realization. It was my house. What you touched on earlier, the lack of separation, that home that I thought belonged to a whole happy world of smiling people, that was my resource. One morning I decided, because I only lived in one little room of the cabin near the fire, but I decided, oh, I would love a hot bathtub in the bath, which was not really heated very much, with minimum heat, just so the pipes didn't freeze. But but not much else. Anyway, and it was quite a luxury and a lot of electricity and, you know, expensive and so on to run a hot bath. But I just, for some reason, I felt I needed to do that. So I was lying in the bathtub and I suddenly thought, I should just switch on the radio. And so I turned the radio on to the national radio station in Canada is called the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. It's a radio station that plays classical music and there are no advertisements or anything. It's the more sort of serious station. Anyway, someone was reading a story of their life. And I lay in the bath. And at the end of the reading, it was an interesting story, the announcer came on and she said that this program is called First Person Singular. If you have an interesting story of your life, why don't you send it in to us? And then you can come in and if you're chosen, you can read the story in your own voice. So anyway, I got out of the bar. And I had a very interesting story that had happened a few years back with my son, where we were in a little store in the small town close to the cabin. And I discovered a book in the window of this shop. It was a book about a spiritual community we had lived on and that I had been a part of. And somehow the book was out of print and I'd lost my copy. And I was so excited to see this book. I asked the woman if she wouldn't mind giving it to me. I said, I'll buy it. And she was very put out because she had to climb into the window of her shop and disturb everything and get this book up from under a pile of books she had as a window dressing, you know. Where my son was trying on some sweatshirts and in the change room. And I sat and reading him some of the stories from this book of the spiritual community we had lived in. And then I got to the back. To my absolute shock, I saw it was my book. And this, we were hundreds of miles away from this community. I don't know how this book arrived in this shop window and came to me on that day. It was the beginning of email. You had to plug your computer into a plug in the wall and I didn't quite know how to do it, you know, it was all very primitive, but I managed to do it and send off this little story. Anyway, a few days later, I got a call to say, we love your story. Won't you come in to the CBC in Toronto and read it in your voice? I arrived in Toronto. There was not a speck of snow there. Anyway, I pull into this parking lot near the CBC downtown Toronto with about over a foot of snow on the top of my car, more than a foot, several feet probably, what had survived the wind of the highway. I was in a big van, you know, with a lot of snow on top. And the woman at the entrance to this car lot, she said, "Oh, where are you from?" I said, "South Africa." I had such a laugh about that. Anyway, I went into the recording studio, took the elevator up, sat down, put on the big stuff, and read my story. Didn't hardly spoke to anybody. Then went down, got into my car, and drove back to Siberia. Thinking, oh my God, this is like, you know, these parallel realities.
Yeah.
So I just drove straight home got home late and, you know, back into the cabin, back into that other life again. Anyway, then I got a notification that they were going to broadcast this story nationally. Now, Canada is the largest country in the world. I don't know if you know. It's a huge country. Not a great amount of people live in it, but it's very large. So I sat in this cabin in the middle of nowhere, all by myself, candles. I lit about 100 candles, listening to my voice broadcasting across the whole country. I thought, you know, if we think that what we do doesn't have power, we affect everything we do affects so many people. It was really just a surreal experience. I couldn't know what to think. All I know is they got hundreds of letters from people who had known me and people who had known the situation and people who were touched by the story. I don't know what, that they rebroadcasted it several times.
Wow.
And each time they did, I had that same ritual where I just lit candles and felt the emanation of truly what was being said through my words, that silence and rest and find the truth of who you are. And, you know, I just thought I was able to ride on those sound waves and send something of the work that I was doing on myself to reach others in some way.
In German, we have a saying, in der Ruhe liegt die Kraft. So in the stillness or in the silence is the power. So it's just really, there is a real power. I can share you a funny story to preparing for this interview.
Yes.
But, oh, what could I ask? But I normally always go always with the trust, what happens, and we go from there. But this time, I went to ChatGPT. And says, okay, what might the importance of silence can be? And then it got a full page where we all can think about personal well-being, communication and relationships, social dynamics, professional context. But it's all a little bit more, it's interesting stuff for a normal interview or whatever, but the power story you're telling, that really, it doesn't matter what it is, politics or how can we encourage people to do this more? Because a lot of what I believe is the mess we see in the world, or the mess up of politicians, they have a life, they don't come to rest. If you're a politician, you know, the press is chasing you, other parties, everything is chasing you. You don't, can't connect. So what, like you also said, we worry about the kids today.
I think we need to, with the kind of pace and intensity of life, as you said.
Do you think the world is going more mad, or is this just a historical development? A lot of people need to face it that they can make the next step.
I know for myself, I just have to do the work on myself. Never ends. What I learned from my time of silence at the cabin was that nothing is inconsequential.
It's just showing also the power is which is really there if you, not just rest in silence, just rest in the power somehow.
I think we are enough. That's the mantra. You know, I am enough. Just go deeper and deeper and deeper. Discover what the soul is, what the purpose of this incarnation is, what am I here to do, how can I fully express what I'm here to do. You know, the indigenous people say we bring our medicine. We bring our original medicine.
Yeah.
And if we do not express that medicine, then the world is forever deficient. My main method is through writing, but of course there are a million methods.
Mm-hmm.
I just find that when I write, I draw close to myself. When I write honestly, with the honest voice, really pare it down to, and that takes practice.
Just like you said, if you went through the 3 months and the demons and all these, what is it, mud went through, then you live, but you need to practice it. Otherwise, it easily, like muscles, can go away if you're not using them. Yeah. I found it a very interesting sentence, and maybe it's a wonderful close for this talk with you. And it says, we are enough. And to really understand, going in the silence is maybe the only way to really experience the I amness and I am enough. Otherwise, I'm always stressed, like you said also, people fear the silence, and it's just the fear they need to do something. But if you're enough, there's nothing to do. We are not human doings, so the human beings, it's the main thing is to be.
The I am enough means fully surrendering.
We live in a universe of abundance, even if we don't realize it. It is.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
It is what it is, says love. And thank you, Mala, for sharing your wisdom, your insights. It's really, again, a wonderful, touching experience, and all the insights. May everybody just who listen to it really start to connect and go to the silence and feel the I am enough. And I am this. Thank you, Mala.
Thank you, Wolfgang. Really appreciate this time with you.
Thank you for being part of our journey towards a better planet we. For more information about Winspiration and ways to connect, visit us on the UK Health Radio platform under the presenter section of Wolfgang Sonnenburg and explore Wolfgang's YouTube channel. Be Winspired.